And good morning, this is Pastor Stoltz, and welcome to our Sunday worship service. I'm going to give you the scripture lessons and the sermon text, and then I'll give them to you again, but at least you can have a chance to look them up. The Old Testament is Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. The epistle, 1 Peter 5, 6 to 11. The gospel, Luke 15, 1 to 10. And the closing hymn, 261. Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. And let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore, we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. O God, the protector of all that trust in thee, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us thy mercy, that thou, being our ruler and our guide, We may so pass through things temporal that we finally lose not the things eternal. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Old Testament reading again, Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth of Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. So far. The Epistle, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Gospel, St. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Then drew unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. Then he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he should lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he finds it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she should lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she hath found it, she calls her friends together and her neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. So far, the Holy Gospel. This morning's sermon theme is the call of Saul. And the sermon text is Acts 9, verses 15 to 20. Now, if you remember, Paul, who was then Saul, encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, where he was struck to the ground, made blind, and instructed to go to a man by the name of Ananias. This morning's sermon text picks up at that point. Acts chapter 9, verses 15 through 20. But the Lord said unto Ananias, Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands upon him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and he rose and he was baptized. And when he had received something to eat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So far. When Christ began his public ministry, he chose 12 men who were to be his special witnesses. Men who knew the thoughts and the feelings and the ways of the common people. Men who could adopt themselves as well as their message to the level of the average human being. After his ascension into heaven, the need arose for another type of man, a man who would be qualified to work among the Gentiles, a man whose learning would enable him to confront the intellectual world, a man whose Roman citizenship would help him move about with greater ease and freedom in the Roman Empire. Such a man was Saul of Tarsus. The Lord himself said, For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Jesus was not at a loss in selecting 12 men for his immediate disciples. He knew just the type of men that he needed. And when the need arose for another type of man, a man who was to serve as the apostle to the Gentiles, Jesus knew just where to go. The entire history of Saul shows the wisdom of God's choice. Saul, after his conversion, worked more successfully and suffered more for Christ than any other apostle. Now, if you and I had been living at the time and had been asked to select candidates, would we have chosen Saul of Tarsus? Would we have had the wisdom and the courage to go into the enemy's camp and select the ringleader, the greatest enemy of Christ, the most merciless and cruel of them all, and ask him to become a special missionary for Christ? I doubt it. When we pick candidates for an office in the church, we lay down certain requirements and qualifications. We will require that the man first of all be a Christian himself and be willing to work for Christ, and that he have the necessary education. Saul of Tarsus would not have met even our first condition as to that of being a Christian, because he was a violent enemy of Christ. Nor would he have met the second requirement, working in the kingdom of Christ. He was even now persecuting the Christian church. If anyone at that time would have suggested to Saul to drop his opposition to Christ, Saul would have had him struck down right then and there. Saul also was a highly educated man. He could quote poetry in 3 different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. In his youth, he studied under the great Gamaliel. He was well versed in the traditions of the fathers and in the Mosaic law. His education, his training, however, had led him away from Christ. Yet this very man, this cruel, merciless, fearless enemy of Christ, God used and chose as his special apostle to the Gentiles. Why? Well, God knew exactly what was in this man and what he could make of him. He knew that the zeal and the courage which Paul showed against Christ could later be used for Christ. To bring about this change required strong measures. And we know the story. How Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians, when Christ appeared to him from heaven and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" When Saul asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" Jesus answered, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecute." What an eye-opener that was. That voice came from heaven. Was it true that Jesus of Nazareth is what he claimed to be, the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world? Were the Christians, after all, preaching the truth? Is it really true that Jesus rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven? It must be true, else Jesus could not be speaking to him from heaven. Well, Saul continued on his way to Damascus, not to persecute the church, but to receive more information about Christ from Ananias, who hesitated when he was told to go to Saul. He said, "Lord, I've heard a lot about this man, how much evil he hath done to your saints in Jerusalem." But the Lord said, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles." So Ananias went, as God told him, and baptized Saul. Saul remained certain days with the disciples at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. The conversion of Paul of Tarsus and his call to the apostleship are wonders of God's grace. They show us also that we should never hesitate to offer the gospel to seemingly unworthy persons. There was grace for Saul. There was grace for the thief on the cross. And there is grace for all believers. Let us never grow weary of presenting the gospel to all who will listen. Nor need we be discouraged if the seed of the word does not always bring full fruit at once. At times it may sleep a long time in the hearts of people before it is roused by some thought, provoking experience, and begin to grow and bear fruit. Let us continue to share the gospel, resting assured that God's word does not return void, but accomplishes that for which it is sent. And may the Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus, who showed grace to the penitent thief on the cross, who said, "Him that comes to me I will no wise cast out," may he be gracious unto us, guide us, and keep us as long as we live. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of the Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. The closing hymn, 261.